This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Foot Clan, we got a great show for you today, but I got to remind you, the ultimate draft kit for 2022.
Oh, it's here.
It's available for pre-order, and you can win a Listener League spot if you get in before March 10th. Go to ultimatedraftkit.com. You get the lowest price. You get into that sweet, sweet Dynasty Pass if you get the UDK Plus. There's so much that we're going to give you if you get in nice and early. I mean, the 2022 is here. I mean, the Super Bowl is old news.
Yes. I mean, the year's been here for a while.
Right. But
like a month.
I think you know what I'm saying, Mike. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Welcome in Tuesday, February 15th. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, back with you. Shocking stats episode coming your way. Some surprises, some things to go over. Some Super Bowl reactions from the team here.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats to Jared Goff on the big... Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'm sure he could have orchestrated a comeback.
Why are we throwing Goff in the body bag? He's up there in Detroit just minding his own business.
You're right. That wasn't nice.
It was funny, though.
So it worked. I mean, going all in, getting Matthew Stafford, Odell Beckham Jr. for a
Von
half.
Von Miller.
The template has been repeated in two straight years, really. Veteran quarterback, go all in on some players and win at home in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's good news for the Cardinals, who host the next Super Bowl.
Yeah, Cardinals led by Colt McCoy.
Do we?
Yeah.
No. I mean, 23-20, the Rams over the Bengals. I don't know if it's just because the last couple of years in the world has caused people to just, you know, they're stuck in their homes and all they have is their Twitter. And Twitter's now a more dangerous place than it was 2 years ago. But I've never seen so much whining over, you know, the ref situation.
Oh, really? I feel like, are you talking about the end of the game? The series of flags at
the end? I'm talking about specifically the holding call that put the Rams on the goal line.
Sure.
That was a bad call. I'm not saying it wasn't, but, you know, I saw, friend of the show, Cooper Kupp.
Oh, yeah.
Super Bowl MVP, Triple Crown winner. Best season you could have. If you draw up before the year begins, you're like, hey, give me your goals.
Oh, man.
You can't draw up the kind of season that Cooper Kupp had. It was the best season you could ever have. You end with a ring. You're the Super Bowl MVP. And, you know, he posted on Twitter last night. And it's like all the replies are just like people bodying the refs, saying that they handed the Rams the Super Bowl, all the while ignoring T. Higgins spinning.
I was going to say that there was...
Ripping the head off of Jalen Ramsey, you know.
That one was far more egregious.
Yeah, it led to a... whatever it was, 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, it ended the way it was supposed to end. 23-20 is a pretty well-fought game. It was kind of what we said on the show where, I mean, it's not rocket science here when you have Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
But the defensive pressure was going to be too much at some point in time for Joe Burrow, and they have $66 million in cap space that they need to spend on an O-line.
Yeah, that very end... the last play of the game for the Bengals, at least when Joe Burrow got pressured and sacked or almost sacked, he threw the ball before he went down. But Ja'Marr Chase beat Jalen Ramsey bad down the side. Ramsey was on the ground. That is a game-winning walk-off touchdown if you just protect Joe Burrow, but they didn't. He got a face full of enemies, and that was it. But I still fully blame the play prior to that play.
Well, yeah, you can talk about – I mean, that was my instant tweet, too. It was like, Samaje Perine, really?
Yeah.
Like, it's incomprehensible.
No one saw it coming.
And it's just –
and yet still stopped it.
This is just – and what happens, if people want to know why Joe Mixon's not out there,
right?
It's because of the backwards coaching philosophy that is we do what we do, which is we decide somewhere during the season that we're going to give third downs away. And then we build a personnel package for third down. And then when we run third downs, these guys run out on the field. And Perine or Chris Evans is the guy that just runs out there with that package. That's what happens. It's not like Zach Taylor is sitting over there and saying, I'm making a decision right now, and it's going to be Joe Mix. No, let's send Samaje in there. No, it's because he just has a personnel grouping, and it's a default situation. So you can blame him. That's fine. But it's just this happens too much in the NFL. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, the clock was against them running up the middle. When you have Perine in, like, you know, you might not be saying, oh, I need to put Perine in. That was just the package that's in there on third down. But you are aware of who is on the field.
Yes,
you know what personnel you have. Yep. And so it's like this is you've got your third down team package on the field. Let's not, with the clock against us, run it up the middle with Samaje Perine and take the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands. Like, if Joe Burrow had two opportunities to pick up a yard, I think he would have done it. But he had one opportunity. He took the sack. Game was over.
Yeah, and, you know, Brooks, I see him chiming in over here, is absolutely right. You're in the Super Bowl. Use Mixon on third down. And the whole point of taking Mixon off the field in the regular season has to be protecting him.
Yeah, it's pass protect. Well, I think it was
pass protection. Well, pass protection and durability,
it's
right?
Pass
like, you give him a snap off.
And they're, like, they felt like, if this is my interpretation, you put Perine on the field, that signals to the defense, we're going to throw. And so they were just trying to catch him off balance, and it's 1 yard. I mean, how can you not get 1 yard just running up the middle is the surprising part.
And let's be honest, we're not fair as fans. I mean, this is always revisionist history.
If it works, it works.
The end-around play on fourth down to Cooper Kupp, if it's not Cooper Kupp, I mean, he gets tackled there, and he's an idiot. Why get cued on that play and go end around there when you could just run it up the blah, blah, blah?
Wait, so you mean when they gave it to their best offensive player?
Okay.
In a time of need? Yeah, that's what you do. You give it to Debo. You give it to Cooper Kupp. You give it to Mixon. You don't give it to Samaje Perine.
All right, that's fair. Burrow sacked 18 times in 4 playoff games.
Impressive.
If he had a nice offensive line, ability to get outside the pocket already, move around, make things happen. I mean, it's a bright future for Cincinnati, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely a bright future. I just have some words of encouragement from Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Marino says, don't worry, you'll definitely make it back.
Oh, man, that's rough. That's rough stuff there.
Wow. All right, Cooper Kupp, Super Bowl.
It was his second year, wasn't it?
Joe Burrow?
No, Marino.
It was.
Am I remembering that right?
I thought it was his rookie year.
I don't know. I'll try and vet that.
I thought he went in his rookie season. And by I thought, I was probably 5 years old. So I think it was his rookie season.
Well, his rookie season was 1983.
Okay, so I wasn't born yet.
You were not five.
All right, I wasn't born yet. I think it was his first year. You should
figure
that out.
And for those younger listeners out there, Dan Marino did not win a Super Bowl in his career.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dan Marino was the actor.
Yes, the actor from Ace Ventura.
It was 1984, so it was his,
it was his second year.
Sorry about that.
He was my favorite player growing up, Dan Marino. I was a big Dolphins fan because of him. That's how it works. If you liked the logo and or one player on the team, that was your favorite team, and the Cardinals didn't exist out here yet. Odell Beckham was making plays.
Oh, man.
And then went out with a non-contact left knee injury. So, you know, before the game, Chris Mortensen reported the Rams were optimistic he'd be back with the team next year. I was kind of amazed that the offense, I mean, obviously they put one drive together, but it just kind of stopped functioning. They couldn't run the ball in the game. A lot of credit to the Cincinnati defense.
Oh,
I want to be
so good.
Be clear, especially against the run. I mean, Cam Akers looked incapable of doing anything, and then they put in other backs, and they are incapable of doing anything. But, you know, they couldn't move the ball. And no Tyler Higbee, and then no Blanton.
And no Robert Woods.
No Robert Woods. I mean, you did – Skorenik's not going to get it done for you.
No, he can pop it up for an interception, though, which he did. Yeah, I mean, I think that Odell Beckham will resign with the Rams. They were talking prior to this game, asked, will he take a discount to come back? And no athlete ever says yes, and he said yes.
Right.
He had admitted a place of weakness from a contract negotiation saying, yes, I'll take a discount to come back. When you do that and you are important to the team, I think with this ACL, it's a surgery, obviously, that he can recover. I guess it's not confirmed yet that it's an ACL. We assume because of non-contact, it was his same knee that he had the surgery in before, so probably, but maybe not.
What do you make of him being on the sideline walking around? Like, obviously, people walk off with ACL injuries, but I don't remember one where they're standing around walking for the remainder of the game.
I will say this, his
Super
tag,
Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl, maybe that's the difference. His tag was questionable to return, which is not usually what happens. ACLs, obviously you need, you know, an MRI to fully confirm, but they can usually have a pretty clear idea. Mm-hmm. We think it's an ACL, we just need the MRI to confirm it. And the fact that he was told questionable to return made me go, oh, maybe the initial tests were maybe optimistic.
More positive. Yeah. We don't have anything new on the injury yet, guys, do we?
No, sir.
I see people shaking heads over there. The Borgogan with us this morning. Are you on the microphone? No, he's shaking his head. Okay.
Thank goodness.
Just Al? Yeah. Just Al on the microphone?
And me. And
just
me
and Brooks.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Let's not.
You don't want to talk about this. Talk about this Kyler Murray.
Was that our? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Overarching report for Kyler Murray after the great social media escapades of last week. Chris Mortensen reported that he's frustrated with the Cardinals. He's been framed as a scapegoat for the playoff loss. And then on the other side, the report is the Cardinals view him as immature and a finger pointer and have tried to talk to him about the sideline attitude issues.
Are you a scapegoat if it was, in fact, your fault?
Right.
That's a great question because he's being used as a scapegoat, but he sucked.
But he was really bad.
Right.
There's been rumors that he
talked. Is that just a goat? Like, not greatest of all time, but just a goat?
Yeah, I mean, he was bad in that game. Obviously, you know, you could blame game plan. You can blame Aaron Donald, whatever. But, or no. DeAndre Hopkins. The reality is he's going to be back. He's going to be playing quarterback for the Cardinals. Anybody who thinks otherwise is insane, and he'll be the quarterback. He wants a contract extension. He's eligible for it. J.J. Watt had a hilarious tweet about it this morning.
Did you see that?
I did not.
So funny. So J.J. Watt has basically a selfie video saying that he just tried to FaceTime Kyler, and Kyler didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
What does this mean?
Yeah, it was tongue in cheek.
Oh, he was making fun of me. He goes, or he has this big serious monologue. He goes, or maybe he's at dinner. It was great.
Yeah, the problem, JJ, is the scrubbing of the social media stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be back and play quarterback for the Cardinals.
I totally understand it. That's a pro move, like PR wise, by JJ to try and pull some heat. While hopefully, he's trying to actually call up Kyler and be like, dude, we can't be operating like this.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a different generation of quarterback.
Yes.
With his, you know, he's obviously got all the gaming interests and, like, he's a quieter kind of leader, not a prototypical one. So, I don't know what the real story is. We don't know either. We'll give you fantasy breakdown of something if it happens, but
yeah, I mean that's part of where the problem lies is that you know that he is aware of the buzz that he has created.
Correct.
Like
doesn't go out and fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are intentionally letting that hang out there, which is
so a good leader does.
This is sending another statement
his immaturity.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. And this was who knows? It could have been provocated by let's get this next contract. And
maybe.
He just sits down until he gets it.
Could you imagine Sean McVay right now, if he was the coach of the Cardinals, just casually sitting to the sideline? Like, he holds his players accountable. I feel like Cliff is on some beach somewhere.
You are the I've brought this up before. I'm going to bring it up again. You are the single hardest hometown fan in the world.
Yeah.
You see it through a if anything goes slightly sideways, you see it through the most negative lens possible.
I've been.
Is this protection?
No,
is
no.
Is this
no.
to protect yourself from mm-mm. vulnerability?
No, this has been trained in me over. How many championships do our football and basketball teams have over the last 100 years?
Where's the
yeah, it's a goose. That's why I'm pessimistic.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I mean, you never rather not have.
I've always been right.
Off-season controversy.
Yes, you've always been right.
Kirk Cousins will remain with the Vikings in 2022. I bet it has to do with the $45 million or whatever they own.
Yeah.
The Raiders, we have a shocking stat about the Vikings on today's show. We'll discuss the Cousins situation. Raiders are prepared to discuss a contract extension that would keep Derek Carr in Las Vegas for the foreseeable future.
We're prepared to.
Huh.
We're not doing it.
Huh.
But we're
you,
thinking
you had not
about
heard
it.
That, Mike.
No.
Yeah.
I missed that little blurb and that, huh.
Ready to make a commitment?
That's a little head scratch. Again, I don't think Derek Carr is bad, but at this point, do you really think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I don't know.
That there are very few Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I think if you have a Derek Carr, they are a playoff contending quality quarterback that you do keep. He's only 30 years old.
It's pretty much like the Kirk Cousins situation. I mean, I think.
Except you're not financially committed to Derek Carr now.
Right.
I mean, I don't view, and maybe this is blasphemy to some. I have never viewed Matt Ryan. I know he won an MVP award and had a phenomenal year, got to a Super Bowl. I don't view Matt Ryan as one of those just Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I view him as a Derek Carr, very capable, quality guy that if you've got a good team around him can really be a good quarterback. And so that's kind of how I view him. And, you know, Matt Ryan was minutes away from a Super Bowl victory.
I mean, how did you view the Matthew Stafford season? I mean, I don't think anybody kind of views this championship as Stafford putting the team on his back. Mm. And I'm the biggest Stafford fan that you can find. I mean, somebody drummed up an old tweet where I said he was an Andy Reid away from multiple championships because he's that talented. But this was a real team championship. Your defense has elite Hall of Famers at multiple positions. Cooper Kupp had arguably the best single season ever for a wide receiver. Man, that throw though to Cooper Kupp, that throw in the middle of the game. Did you see it?
Yes,
it was a no look throw.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
Go watch.
That makes a lot of sense.
Go watch the film for the cross the middle Cooper Kupp.
Cooper, look at your target. Look where you're throwing.
That's unbelievable. Carson Wentz. There's a report he'll probably be traded or released before the start of the new year.
This is
also Chris Mortensen. Is he getting back like into
the Mort report? Let's go.
I just feel like this is a disproportionate amount of Mort in our news. We had some awards given out. Cooper Kupp, Offensive Player of the Year, MVP to Aaron Rodgers again. There are rumors that the Packers are willing to not just pay Rodgers, go all in, go above the cap, do whatever they need to do.
This is full posture season for the Green Bay.
I'm Aaron Rodgers, I say prove it to me. Give me a wide receiver.
But the Packers have no choice. This is what they have to do because
they're so dumb.
Either you keep him and you did it, congratulations team, or he forces his way out and he is completely the bad guy because we said, like if you look at the news, we said we would do whatever it takes. Like
the train's already in
motion, though.
Al, they are so stupid. They're stupid. They gambled and lost. You decided to go spend a first rounder on Jordan Love.
They traded up.
Traded up to do that. And then you went and watched your quarterback win back-to-back MVPs.
Whoopsies.
And then now you have to fight tooth and nail to be relevant in the NFL and keep him. I mean, if I am Aaron Rodgers, the only way I might not be able to play next year because I'm laughing so hard. That might be my situation. I'm just laughing at how it worked out in my favor.
Yeah.
Although that suit, questionable.
Oh, did he have a funky suit?
He had a really nice suit in the 70s.
It is a 70s suit.
I did not see it, but yeah, he's
back when they didn't
he also
have
works
color.
For UPS. I was gonna say. Like,
Rogers has
all the leverage.
Rogers is completely in control of this situation. I don't know where he wants to go, though.
If I were him, beyond being paid more money than everybody else, I would work some real humiliating stuff into my contract. I would make, like, the head coach has to go bow to him once every day in the morning.
I will be referred to as Mr. Rogers at all points moving forward.
I mean, they have to crown him every day. Joe Burrow, comeback player of the year. Jamar Chase, offensive rookie of the year.
Call me father, please.
And congratulations. Yeah, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, coach of the year.
Mike Vrabel, we did it, yes!
Congrats.
Mike Vrabel, and if you were riding with us on Evan McPherson over 1.5 field goals, we squeaked it in.
Congratulations.
Yes, yes. You guys want to talk some shocking stats?
Yes.
How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
All right, I told you we had a shocking stat for the Vikings. Let's start with that one. They played in one-score games, guys. 14 of their first 15 games. That ties an all-time record for one possession games in a season. It also, in my opinion, validates coaching issues, right? You have the talent, you have the skill players to be in the game, but you can't close out the game, you can't get it done. They were also just a ridiculously inefficient offense despite the talent, where I think they had the most three and outs of any team in football.
Ooh.
Which is not in here in our doc, but I saw that the other day. They were in the bottom five for sure. And it's like, how do you do that with Jefferson, Cousins, and Dalvin Cook? And it's because you're predictable. You run the ball on first down and you pass it on second down. You know, what's the future here? If he's back, you got a new head coach, Kevin O'Connell, coming over from the now Super Bowl champion Rams.
Yeah, I don't see it as necessarily bad coaching, right? 2 years ago, whenever you're in those one-score games, and we know this from history, we know this from a couple of years, just a couple of years ago with the Cardinals.
And the Chargers.
The Chargers,
too.
Where when you're in these one-score games, the ball bounces different ways. And 2 years ago, they had a lot of close one-score games. They were above 500 in those. This last year, they were below 500, 6-8. I view the Vikings, and tell me if you view it different. I view them on the way down. I view the Vikings right now as a team that has been really good over the last 5-6 years, contending for their division, never really got over the hump. They thought that they were a Kirk Cousins away. They weren't. And now a lot of their players are aging out. Adam Thielen is not going to be getting any younger. They're winning on Patrick Peterson and on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this is a team that they're up against it cap-wise. They do have a couple really valuable offensive pieces. And for fantasy, I love that. I love the fact that they are changing from Mike Zimmer, because I think what his desire was did limit their offense. But as a team, I think they're going to get worse before they get better.
I still see them as second in the division. I mean, this was a team I thought...
Well, yeah, I mean, they play with the Lions, so they're not going to be fourth.
Yeah, I think they have another strong season in them. Kirk Cousins is underrated. He's a great quarterback. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, they were a terrible defense. That can improve. Yeah. I mean, you were hoping, right, that they were going to make an improvement this season. They were 30th in yards allowed.
I mean,
it cost him his job.
We talked about him in the season of how they just, whatever team they play to the competition of their team, which is that's probably not the best thing, but like they beat the Packers, they beat the Chargers, they lose a one score game to the Super Bowl champs, the Rams, but then they go out and they lose to the Detroit Lions. Like they were a very bizarre team.
Fantasy wise, I will be buying up discounted assets if that's the view that others have of the Vikings for next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, my view of them on the way down doesn't necessarily mean that for fantasy. For fantasy purposes, Kevin O'Connell coming in, an offensive mind, I think he's going to want to air it out a little bit more, and he's got the weapon in Justin Jefferson to do that. Cooper Kupp.
What?
I'm saying Justin Jefferson can Cooper Kupp it for the Kevin O'Connell.
It just sounded like you said the word Cooper Kupp out of no context.
And then stopped.
Just no,
stopped.
Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp it.
Just say it.
It was Cooper Kupp it.
Oh, it was Cooper Kupp it.
Yes. It was
a descriptive verb. Yes,
Justin exactly Jefferson, right. Cooper Kupp.
It. Justin Jefferson, yes. Cooper
I'm
Kupp it.
That's what we all heard.
We did.
I will check the tape. I said Cooper Kupp it.
You, Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp it.
His defense is that he said the phrase, Cooper Kupp it.
That's right. That's what I wanted
Which
to do.
Which should have been understood right. by us, yeah. the fools.
Thank you.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Let's piggyback here. Here's another shocking stat, living inside the five. Dalvin Cook, 15 carries inside the five this year, only 3 rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
So this is primed for some positive regression for Dalvin Cook. On the other side of the coin, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who struggled in 2020. By the way, Dalvin Cook was great in that department in 2020. Yeah. Clyde struggled in 2020, had 4 opportunities inside the five. All 4 opportunities were touchdowns. So that was what you wanted to see from Clyde. You wanted to see him get into the end zone. But that efficiency is, it's nice. Let's just say it would have given Dalvin 15 touchdowns. Yeah. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely a positive regression here for Dalvin Cook. He'll continue to get those carries inside the five. I think the more interesting conversation around this statistic is Clyde Edwards-Helaire of what is he in this dynasty offseason and moving into next year. Because it was going into year two, he showed some flashes here and there in year one, suffered an unfortunate injury his rookie year at the end, came back. And you're like, perhaps there's a value here for Clyde, who was going in the third round or so of redraft this past season. And he looked okay, was splitting time with the other Daryl. But then you get into the playoffs, and Jerick McKinnon was clearly running ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire and had showed some juice. What do you make of that heading into next year? Was that simply a Clyde was still recovering from the injury, or did Andy Reid look at his team and go, no, Jerick McKinnon is the much better option?
I don't generally defend Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I believe it was what you said.
Okay. The injury?
Yeah, that he was mostly returning from an injury, and they'd found a groove with Jerick McKinnon and some rotation there in the backfield, and they weren't going to – Clyde has not played up to a level where you – the second you have him back, you give him a workhorse role. That's
like
not
a first round running back.
Yeah, that's not how he has played. He does not demand that from your offense. Where you know how it was with Dalvin Cook coming back with the shoulder sling, and all of a sudden it was the greatest game of all time against Pittsburgh.
Oh, the device.
The device. Yeah.
Oh, that game was awesome.
He probably took that off for my championship game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what this stat says to me on the shocking stats of his getting back to Dalvin Cook and his inefficiency inside the red zone is a reminder that touchdowns are not a sticky stat. We say that, and sometimes people are, what does that mean, or whatever. Touchdowns vary. They are the least predictable thing, and it seems super predictable. It seems like, well, yeah, the touchdown guys are always going to get theirs, but it's not really the case. Look at it this way. The year before last, Alvin Kamara had 21 touchdowns. Yeah, I know there's a quarterback change, but he went from 21 to what did he have this year? Like three, four? I mean, he had, you know.
It was a down year, yeah.
Nothing. Tyreek Hill had 17 touchdowns 2 years ago. Dalvin Cook had 17 touchdowns, and now you're talking about way fewer touchdowns. And on the flip side, and when we look at this year and how that can affect how we rank going into 2022, look, Austin Eckler was awesome. 20 touchdowns, fantastic. James Conner, touchdown machine. These stats from year to year are not the ones you want to base your belief in your picks in. You want to base it on yardage, on volume, on targets, on receptions, on those type of things. And it's nice to know that Austin Eckler can get 20. It's nice to know that Dalvin Cook can bounce back and have a ton of touchdowns. But don't put too much emphasis on that. Like James Conner, to me, if he resigns with the Cardinals and he's the dude going in, I'm not going to just think he's getting 12, 13, 14 touchdowns next year, because that's just not the way that the NFL works. Year to year, great players go from scoring a lot of touchdowns to a handful of touchdowns, and then the next year a lot. It goes back and forth.
If you're looking at touchdowns, I agree with you. If you're looking at opportunities, that can be more predictive, especially for players that have done it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you put, you know, what Dalvin Cook was had 15 attempts inside the red zone. Jonathan Taylor led the way. Connor was after that. Like, that is something I will chase. I will chase those opportunities if I think if I think the role is the same.
Yes, you should chase the volume. But looking at, like, so Dalvin had the 15. Damien Harris had 15. Gibson had 15. Zeke at 14. I mean, those, Dalvin Cook easily should have had at least three more touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, the lowest touchdown total for any of the players in the top 10 was like six.
Yeah.
And he had three. So, and you know, you watch that season, we marveled at Adam Thielen being the red zone weapon that he is, and Jefferson demands targets in there too. It just was a different year. You know, I look at that Antonio Gibson, 17 carries inside, you know, six touchdowns. That's something interesting to me, because if he has that exact same role, you could luck into that variance year where it's 12, 13 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody's, I mean, man, Jonathan Taylor, 30 attempts, double the attempts.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So let's move on. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts. All right.
Hurts so good.
Go ahead and push the button there, Al. I know I don't know what you're doing over there.
What? Which one do you want? You're thinking of
he always plays the Hurts so good.
Does he?
Yeah. He's responsible for just a few that I never hit. It's Hurt So Good.
Give Me a Kiss.
Give Me a Kiss by McKissick.
That doesn't mean play it.
Mm-mm, please don't.
Now he will. In 19 career starts, Jalen Hurts is averaging 8.82 rushing fantasy points per game.
That's delightful.
So you get on average.
What?
He likes to surprise us.
I mean, why don't you just play like boom?
That drop has to interrupt people. That's the only way.
Right.
I thought we had moved past it.
But we're not talking about J.D. McKissick.
That is true.
Why'd you say his name?
Jalen Hurts, 8.82 rushing fantasy points per game. Only Lamar Jackson is better at 8.6 throughout his career. He also had five games in 2021 with 13-plus fantasy points via the ground. So you look at Jalen Hurts moving into the future, and I think it's a pretty easy equation, right? Starting quarterback Jalen Hurts equals starting quarterback for your fantasy team. Isn't that right?
Yep. Yeah, totally agree.
10 rushing touchdowns, is that what he had this year? 10 rushing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. I think he is a very safe quarterback. And I have not been a believer, but I think we've established the fact that he's going to be good for fantasy and competent in NFL play. And I think if he takes a step forward, he will entrench himself as their starter for the future. And if this year is regression, obviously they'll move on because they don't have enough financial investment to force it.
Yeah, I think he will be one of my most heavily rostered quarterbacks next year, depending on how the overall consensus
Where
views
do you
him.
Feel like he goes? Because
well, that's what's great.
I don't think he's late.
I don't think he's late, but I think he's going to be like quarterback 8-ish or something like okay. that. And I don't see how he finishes outside of the top 5 other than injury because to me, you know, this was his full first season as a starter. He's going to get better. He had a rookie wide receiver in Devonta Smith who looked great. He's going to get better. So the passing game, I think, will improve. But if you look at his running, I mean, with this stat, this shocking stat is about his fantasy points per rushing attempt, how good he was on the ground running the ball. Before his ankle injury, he was on pace for 900-plus rushing yards. After the three games, once he got back from the ankle injury, he was only averaging 29 rushing yards a game, and now he had surgery on the ankle. Like, that was a bum ankle,
right.
And it got in the way of him running the ball. And the end of the season, he sputtered as a fantasy asset. He didn't win people championships. And so I think it's a combination of because he sputtered at the end, and people haven't really been all about him in general, he's not going to be one of those like top three, top four drafted guys. I think he's going to be the eighth or later quarterback drafted. And he has that top three upside with the legs. You saw it in the beginning of the year before the injury. So I think progression as an offense, as a passer, healthy ankle. I like Jalen Hurts' future.
He's really a player you have to decide what kind of quarterback you want on your roster. He's tremendously consistent. He had 6 games where he threw 0 touchdowns. He only had 1 3-touchdown game. He did not have a top 2 finish at the quarterback position. So sometimes you might want that quarterback that gives you that extremely high upside but is more variable in their finishes. Like Herbert would be an example of that. Lots of these week-winning weeks had some weeks where, like, Hurts never really hurts you.
Other than after the ankle injury.
Correct. But yeah. That is something that has an excuse. I
and
think.
If you leave the room for improvement as a passer, only 16 passing touchdowns on the season, like with the growth of Smith on the outside, that number could
physically,
certainly
go up. Like, is he getting bigger?
I hope so.
He
needs to put on some LBs. No, there's upside. Yeah. And there's downside. Let's not get it wrong. There's downside because he could be, you know, benched. I would pay a lot of money if the trade destination for Carson Wentz was the Philadelphia Eagles.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
All right, here is number 4 here, shocking stats. Where have all the Cowboys gone? Thank you for that, Kyle.
Yippee-yay.
Despite leading the NFL in total points, 30.4 points per game, all of the Dallas Cowboys starters in fantasy drafts failed to return their draft cost in 2021, which means...
That is a shocking stat.
For fantasy purposes, they were worse than where you drafted them. All mm-hmm. of them. Dak was drafted as the quarterback 6. He finished at 7. Zeke, running back 4, finished at 6. I think maybe the biggest letdown was CeeDee Lamb, drafted as the wide receiver 11 inside that wide receiver 1 range. Ends wide receiver 18. Amari Cooper, wide receiver 15 to 27. Gallup 55 to 78. Blake Jarwin 24 to 60.
The only two guys that did well were guys that weren't really drafted, Pollard and Dr. Schultz. Dr. Schultz was really good on this season.
You're really committed to that.
I mean, it's just when it's great, it's great.
I still don't get it.
Well, he's jealous.
What do you mean you don't get it?
He can't. How is he gelling? It's Dr. Schultz.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he is. There's
That's
two
so
doctors.
Cool. What are you? Oh,
you,
come on.
How, you can't see the leap from Dr. Schultz to Dr. Schultz?
For all the things that we have done on this show, that's about as close of
a
correlation as you get.
I want to see a show of hands back there who's in support of Dr. Schultz.
Yeah.
Do we have 3? We got 2?
We got 3 hands.
Yeah, the third
that was a very slow hand, Brooks, and that was peer pressure.
And everyone at home is raising their hand.
No, I know.
But this is, I think the takeaway here, and something we need to factor in going forward, is like the consolidation of assets is so important. You know, last year when the Chiefs were just crushing it for people, it was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. It's like, you know where they're going. All the fantasy points go to a few options. That's what's been so great about the Vikings, right? It's like you've got Dalvin Cook and you got Justin Jefferson. And here it was just, it was almost like there were too many assets. The offense was great. And really, part of this stat that's misleading is they led the NFL in total points scored, 30.4, but they had a lot of defensive scoring.
I was going to say, the defense changing this year, which, you know.
Yeah, Parsons, settle down over there. We need some offensive points, man.
Yeah, we've seen this before. I mean, it really, across the board, affects everybody. So, yeah, you're right. Consolidation of assets, defensive performance makes a big difference.
Will be interesting. You have Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and the Doctor are currently free agents. So maybe he leaves to study more medicine. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, shoot. Grandpa's last hurrah. Bears second year tight end Cole Kmet is the first tight end in NFL history to see 90 plus targets and not score a single receiving touchdown.
Man.
Jimmy Grandpa, 3 receiving touchdowns. I made $300 off of Jason. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Major increase in usage for Cole Kmet. So we're flagging this because we're arrow looking to up. 2022. The volume was there, but the touchdowns just weren't. You have a new head coach. You got a quarterback that's going to be he seems to like targeting Cole Kmet. It's just not in the paint.
Well, because that was Jimmy Graham's own.
Yeah, but what does that say that they thought Jimmy – was it simply Jimmy Graham's on the roster and so this is the only place we can use him, let's get him in, that'd be great. Or is it possible that they thought Jimmy Graham, this version of Jimmy Graham, is just actually better than Cole Kmet inside the red
which
zone?
Which he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's –
I mean, Jimmy Graham
that's
is –
bad.
Jimmy Graham is – no, he's elite. Jimmy Graham is an elite red zone target.
He's very large. I mean, he was elite at one time, but he was...
Yes, he used to be an athletic middle of the field, him in the seam, let him run. Now he is an elite end zone target. He really is.
Oh, man, I don't know.
He wins. He wins.
Cole Kmet.
He had 3 touchdowns on the season. Let's not get carried away. You know, it's. I know you felt all of them with the $100 bills, but I don't know.
Did you watch their offense?
He's huge.
They might have had 3 on the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's big. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers could... have him use more. I don't know that he
has. Didn't he have 10 touchdowns last year or something? 8.
You mean 2 years ago?
No. Last year he had 8 touchdowns in the red zone. So this is what he does. So in other words, to answer your question, I don't indict Cole Kmet at all. But Cole Kmet is not going to go get jump balls in the corner of the end zone. That's just not what they've done.
That's
so
fine. I do reject your verbiage, though. That is now 2 years ago. Last year is...
Oh, you're making me move the...
Yeah.
So you want to be... Okay,
well, no, because I'm right. Because it was 2 years ago when he had 8 touchdowns. He had 3 touchdowns this last year.
They're like the same size. 6, but they're both 6'6". They're within a couple pounds of each other. I think that the arrow was way up on Cole Kmet. Like, I think that the... How I feel about his future as a fantasy tight end does not match where the market is on him right now.
We can agree on that. And look, every tight end is that size. Not every tight end goes up and has ball skills and has jumping ability and all of that.
Well, Evan Engram wishes he was 6'6".
All right. So Cole Kmet, arrow pointing up. We all agree on that. Could be a buy low in dynasty leagues. Could be a late round tight end next year that you look at. I'm sure there will be some offseason hype about Cole Kmet if Jimmy Grandpa has indeed had his last ride into the sunset. All right.
On a rascal. Going 5 miles an hour.
So but then he sped up.
Yeah. He takes the rascal to the goal line.
Yeah.
He gets out, and then he leaps straight up.
I have to believe Cole Kmet can outleap Jimmy Graham at this point in time.
You would think so.
No.
I would think so.
I want to see it.
Jimmy Graham
perfected jumps.
Getting fined for the
the dunk slamming over the goalpost.
I think we just like making fun of Jimmy a man Grandpa. Much younger than you. Throweth the Raven more. The Ravens' offense transformed from being dead last in total pass attempts to ninth with 610 attempts this year. It's the biggest year-to-year pass jump over the last 20 years. Lamar had 9 games of 30-plus passing attempts. How do we project all of this going forward? We did discuss this a little bit on the show recently. This is a math equation. You remove a great defense, you remove great running backs, and then at times you remove Lamar Jackson. So, which is going to lead to less rushing attempts with the backup running backs too, or quarterbacks as well. I think we find improvements on the defense and the running game next year. But I don't think we revert to being dead last. So I would put them as a middle of the pack passing offense in terms of volume next year. What do you guys think?
I tend to agree with that. Like, can the defense return? Like, is everything just blamed on injuries? And then next year, it's the Ravens are back to being that very scary defense that you don't want your players matched up against. I don't know if that's the case. So I would try and be measured and say that they have definitely said with their actions of the front office they want to have an increase of pass attempts, but I think that the pendulum went too far for what they want this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, we talked about their actions, you know, drafting the first round rookie, all of that. This is part of why I think Mark Andrews has leveled up to the elite status from great to elite is because of the passing attempt. The issue we always had with, you know, Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews is just the passing pie was too small. Now, the 610, a lot of that was when the backup came in. He threw for a ton. But if you just look at the games where Lamar Jackson played, you know, the majority of the snaps, wasn't injured with 14% of snaps, he would have been on pace this year, the way that they played with him, was on pace for 584 passing attempts. If you compare that to his pace, his 17-game pace from the year prior, he was on pace for 426. So when we talked 2 years ago about the small passing pie, that was 426 passing attempts. That's itty bitty. 584 passing attempts means Mark Andrews can be a fantasy stud. It means Hollywood, or depending on, you know, whatever you believe, Bateman, they can have more fantasy relevance, because I do think they're going to continue passing the ball at again, this wasn't like they, you know, they were ninth. You know, they're a middle of the pack team, and I will take a middle of the pack pie versus bottom of the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be philosophical for this offense. He's on 18, 19 interception pace. Lamar Jackson was as well. So I think we're in agreement of where the offense is heading. They don't have a guaranteed contract for Lamar yet, right?
Correct.
So that'll be interesting.
Extension.
Breaking news.
All right, you might have known this even when we talked about it earlier in the show, but it does look like a torn ACL.
Yeah, for Odell.
For Odell Beckham Jr., the second torn ACL against the Bengals in 2 years.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yes, two catches for 52 yards, one touchdown, one moonwalk before the injury. Ian Rappaport reporting.
That moonwalk was, that was a good one.
I missed the moonwalk.
He knocked
the hat up. You
I'm
see
just
that?
Saying, like, for,
the moonwalk was good, but the hat, I love the hat.
But, I mean, you're in cleats. Like, that's impressive.
Wait, he moonwalked in cleats?
Yes.
I got to watch this.
Now, that is not where he tore the ACL.
No.
Couldn't have been healthy for those knees.
That is, I mean, but that's a lot to come back from in two consecutive years. And it's going to throw some shade on dynasty value. There was finally some optimism around Beckham.
Yeah, if Beckham had left the season healthy, re-signs with the Rams, you'd be pretty excited for him moving next year and into next year. Now, an ACL recovery, you're talking probably on the pup to start at the beginning of the year. Miss at least 6 weeks.
Can't have the injury any later in the season.
It's a bummer.
Well, it could have been in the fourth quarter.
Okay, you could have it a few minutes later in the season.
Yeah, you're talking about last season, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Thank you. That is correct.
What's going on around here?
Good job. Now we understand the vernacular.
That's good. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. One more reminder for you, ultimatedraftkit.com. The pre-order is up. It's available. The Dynasty Pass is awesome. My favorite part is the team opportunity sheets. They've been upgraded this year. You can filter by best opportunity per position. It is amazing to research for your upcoming dynasty startup drafts, for rookie drafts. All of that is available in the UDK Plus. You can get that at ultimatedraftkit.com. That is going to do it. That is it. Last season in the books.
We're on to
2022.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Make sure you go to ultimatedraftkit.com, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.